If you're familiar with that song, but when I was looking at the passage I was going to speak on today, that the song kind of came to my mind. And I'm going to be looking in 2 Timothy again. The verse that we're going to focus in on, we're focusing on several verses. But 2 Timothy verse 8. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. And I want to stop there. Do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord. Do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord. This phrase has been echoing around in my head for the last few days. Last time we spoke about what did we speak about? I just drew a blank. What did we speak about last time? Not being timid. Thank you, Doris. That's the thing that we talked about last time as we were looking in 2 Timothy. And this time, Paul quickly jumps into the first application about what it means, what it looks like not to be timid. Don't be afraid to open your mouth on behalf of Jesus Christ. Now, what did Paul mean when he wrote this to Timothy, and what does it look like in my life? What does it look like for our church? Is this something that we already have figured out? Is this something that we can just pass by and say, yeah, I understand that, and I think I've got that down already, and so why don't we move on and talk about something else? Well, that was one of the questions I had. How does this apply to me? Am I missing something here that God wants to say to me? Well, when I looked at this, I can't quite imagine Timothy being ashamed of Jesus or speaking about Jesus. But then again, if I look at us, I can't really imagine us being that ashamed either to talk about Jesus. So there must be something deeper here that I need to look at. First of all, looking at what does it mean to be ashamed? Well, it means to feel shame, of course, to be embarrassed, to feel foolish, to feel inferior, maybe inadequate. I'm sure each of us has experienced some of those feelings in our life. We've each been in positions where we have felt ashamed. Or we've been faced with things in our life where we're afraid that we might be ashamed, maybe asked to do something. I know I've often felt ashamed of myself, and sometimes we feel ashamed of other people in our lives, maybe family members. Maybe you have a weird uncle. I don't know if you have a weird uncle or somebody that in your family that's just a little out there, and you're not quite sure that you want to associate yourself with them. You maybe keep a little bit of distance between you and them. Maybe you as a teenager are ashamed sometimes of your parents. I don't know if that ever happens, teenagers, but I've seen it happen where suddenly it seems parents don't know anything and they are like way out in left field and they're old-fashioned and, well, you can down the list. But that happens. The possibility of being ashamed also causes us to hold back, to be restrained, to disassociate. And when we couple this with the word testify, we have a person who is afraid to speak. Someone who is timid in speech. Or someone who may speak, but does so without conviction. Backing away from the very words they're saying. And as I looked at this, I became more and more convinced that God would like us to seriously re-examine ourselves and honestly ask the question, am I ashamed to testify about our Lord Jesus Christ? In what ways might that look like in my life? So I'm wondering, will you do some wondering with me? First of all, I wanted to look at preaching. I had Reuben raise this question in our elders' team at one of our meetings lately about whether there were parts of Scripture that we as pastors tend to stay away from. Are there things in there that we'd rather not stand up here and talk about that might be, well, controversial or that might give a little backlash to us? Or maybe they're just too offensive in some way or too direct. And as I thought about that, I had to say, yeah, there's been some things that, you know, I just haven't been quite ready to tackle from the pulpit. I haven't been quite ready to say what I think God says about those things. So for me as a pastor, I had to examine that. Are there times, and I know there have been, times where I have purposely toned down what I felt like God gave me to say because it just sounded a little too harsh. It sounded, well, I knew that people weren't going to like it. So I backed away from it. And I had to think, what if the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah did the same thing? I'm sure they had the same kind of feelings. And they were given some very difficult things to say and to do. Each time I read about them, I wonder, man, and here I am waffling about this little thing. Look what God asked them to say. It's crazy. And so as a pastor, I think about those things. Something for me to look at. And suddenly the door starts to open a little bit and I realize, yeah, there is something here for me to examine. And maybe there is for you as well. A few Sundays ago, we had time for testimonies to be shared. And I'd have to say I was a little surprised of how few there were. Now, I don't know. It may have been perfectly fine. I didn't feel uncomfortable with it. But I had to wonder a little bit then and since then, was there more that should have been said? Was there more that could have been said on behalf of our Lord? Now, I know that quite a few of us here are kind of the quiet type, and I would probably put myself in that same category. We like to stay in the background. Even the idea of speaking in front of others seems terrifying, and so often we don't. And I had to wonder, is it possible that God is prompting us to say something, but we assume that since it's uncomfortable for us, that we don't need to bother? Is that a possibility? Is that being ashamed to testify? I think all of us are afraid of what each other thinks about us. We think about that a lot, don't we? We have somewhat of an image that we like to maintain, and we don't really like to mess with that. And if God asked me to say something, especially something that might appear derogatory against me, well, a crack appears in that image that I have. And I don't really like cracks. I like to keep it all patched up. So I think even if we aren't introverts, we all struggle with what other people think of us and what they think of what we say. In fact, I was asking Doris this question, and I was surprised by her answer, you know, about what would hinder you from sharing. And she said, I'm a little worried about what you would think of it. And I thought, well, that wasn't really what I was looking for. But I realized, you know, that there have been times where I have been critical of what she has said. And so in that process, she has been somewhat more reserved to be able to share maybe what God has laid on her heart to share. And so, like I said, I didn't really want to hear that, but I was looking for a different answer. But I think we all struggle with that to some degree. I had a nightmare this week. I don't remember what night it was, but I was dreaming that I was standing right here, and I don't know, it was dark, for some reason the lights weren't on, and I couldn't find my notes, and I couldn't find the scripture I was looking for, and I was fumbling through the Bible, and actually it kind of happened this morning, didn't it, but I was fumbling around, and I couldn't find it, and all of you were just sitting out there looking at me and just waiting. And finally, I had Doris come up. I said, Doris, can you help me find this? And it must have been 10 minutes. We were looking, just fumbling through. And suddenly, I woke up. Boy, glad that was just a dream. But it's something that was there. It's something that I think of, too, when I get up here. Something that I deal with. Well, what are other reasons why somebody might not share? Well, I think there are some who are still trying to figure out, well, what would I say? I mean, what would I say? What's Rob talking about? I mean, I would say something if there was something to say, but nothing's really happening right now. Things are going okay. There's nothing special really going on. So I'm not just going to make something up. Well, I think the problem is that we don't realize that God has already done something for us. He's already done everything for us. I think there's an awful lot to say about that without thinking about the day-to-day things that he does for us. Is it possible that we don't understand how priceless that treasure is? A treasure beyond measure. And it's already within our grasp. And I was thinking about as we were singing these songs this morning, the ones that Ryan picked out. Did you catch the words in there? Some of the words of what we were singing about. That last song. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, you were there before the world began. We're talking about Jesus being above everything. Everything that is priceless, everything that the world has to offer. We talk about him being crucified on the cross, taking the fall for us. Do you catch that? Isn't that something that we might be able to say something about? All of the songs this morning, Jesus, my Lord, my God, my all, to thee my heart and soul belong. All that I have or am is thine, and thou, sweet Savior, thou art mine. He sang a lot of songs about the greatness of Christ, the greatness of God. Surely there's something there. So I don't think that could be a reason that we really just don't have anything to say. A friend of mine, over the last few months, has taken an interest in a girl. And it's been interesting for me to watch this progression happen in his life. We used to talk about a lot of other things. And it seems like suddenly the conversation always turns back now to this girl and his life. In fact, you would think that everything in life points to this girl, because it doesn't matter what we're talking about or what we might be thinking about, everything seems to draw attention back to this person in his life. I mean, when you bring her up, his face just lights up, you know? You ever seen that happen? And he can't stop thinking about her. He can't stop talking about her. And I had to wonder, has this been my experience with Jesus? Has this been your experience with Jesus, that it's that kind of relationship? It's not that way all the time. We know that. But are there those times where we just can't help ourselves, you know, because of who Jesus means to us? There are others, too, I think, who hold back because maybe some of the rest of us aren't sharing. And they don't want to come across as proud. They don't want to dominate. And so they wait for others to share so they can mix their sharing in appropriately. Well, these are some of the things I wonder, and I don't know the answers to those, and I'm not making a judgment on them. There could be a lot of reasons, and good reasons, but I think we need to ask ourselves the question, when God gives us the opportunity, when God asks us to share, are we willing to open our mouths? Are we willing to say something? Are we willing to testify When we have the opportunity to speak about Jesus, do we take it? Or will we be timid? And if we look at it honestly, will we be ashamed? Jesus is asking for a witness, and Paul is asking for a witness here. And I think it's a very serious question. We have to take it seriously. Jesus said, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes to his Father's glory with the holy angels." I don't know exactly what that means for sure. We could debate whether that means that a person can lose their salvation or not. But I do know one thing. I do know that it's a serious thing. And Jesus is making that point. It's a serious thing for us to be ashamed of Jesus, to be ashamed to speak of him. Now, here's the crazy thing about this. The things we've been talking about, I've been talking about, well, they don't even come close to what Paul is really getting at in this passage. What Paul is talking to about Timothy. He isn't really talking about stage fright. He's talking about being imprisoned. He's talking about the possibility of being killed. And if we continue the scripture here, he says, "Join with me in suffering for the gospel." That's what he's asking of Timothy. Do you see how crazy this is, what I've been talking about? If we are unwilling to testify about Jesus in a free country among committed believers, how could we even think of testifying to our neighbor who isn't a Christian, or in a culture where Jesus is deemed irrelevant or old-fashioned? Taking it one step further, how could we even think of testifying where at any moment we could be hauled off to prison for it or even killed? And that's the environment that Paul is bringing up here. Paul himself, as he writes this, he's in chains. He's chained up. He's in prison. And Timothy, just associating with Paul, is putting himself in jeopardy. Not only that, but we know that prisoners are not regarded very highly. They're often regarded as the scum of the earth in some ways. And so that association with a person, a prisoner, also has an effect on us. In verse 15, down lower, if you look, we see that many of Paul's co-workers had deserted him because he was a prisoner. They'd walked away. And it's likely that they were afraid of the consequences of being associated with him. I can't blame them. It's a difficult spot they were in. It's not one that I've ever been in. It's not one that I can really understand. These are the kinds of consequences that Paul was asking Timothy to be willing to deal with. So I think the first question for us is, will you testify? But second, are you willing to suffer because of it? Will you accept the invitation to join with Paul and Timothy in suffering for the gospel? Well, I know you're saying, well, Rob, how do you expect to attract people to the gospel when you ask that kind of question or give an invitation like that, an invitation to suffering? Who would be attracted to that? Suffering? I don't need that. I need something that's going to fix my problems. I need something that's going to make me feel better. Well, I have to tell you as a pastor that that is really where I'm tempted to go. That's really a more comfortable area for me to be, because we all like to feel better. I do as well. We all want to be soothed and told how good we're doing. I love to hear that. Doing great, Rob. Whew. That feels good, doesn't it? There aren't many that want to hear about carrying the cross, about suffering for the sake of Christ and the gospel. Well, come on, Rob, let's get back to how much God loves us. Balance this out with how wonderful life is with Jesus. And I'm tempted to, because those things are true. But balance, I don't think that's what Jesus is looking for today. Jesus is looking for someone who is unbalanced in his affection. Maybe that sounds weird to you. But unbalanced in his affection towards him. That's what he's looking for. Those who aren't ashamed of him or his message. Those who will open their mouths and testify regardless of the consequences. Well, why would I do such a thing? Why would I take Paul's invitation to join him in suffering for the gospel? And how can I possibly do that? Well, Paul immediately reminds us here. Let's continue reading in verse 8. "But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. How can we do this? Well, it says very plainly there, by the power of God. And it's only by the power of God that we can do that. That we can face those kinds of things. Why? Well, it's evident. It's because He saved us. Do you remember how great it is to be saved? I still remember vividly as a child running up to the bank of a waterfall, and it was a deep chasm down below. It's about 5 years old. And you know they have fences around them, but my dad had gone down around the fence down on some of the rocks where there were no fences, and he was trying to get a better picture of the falls. I don't know if I told you this story or not before, but I remember very plainly as a young child running up beside him. And as I got up beside him, my feet slipped on the wet rocks right beside him there, and he didn't know I was coming. And I started to fall, and I remember him seeing me at the last minute, and he reached out and he grabbed me like that. Just before I went over the edge. It sticks in my mind. And you maybe have had those kind of things that have happened to you where your life goes before you very quickly, and mine was pretty short, but it still went before my eyes. And I remember the feeling of being pulled away from that danger. The feeling of being saved and knowing that if He had not reached out and grabbed me, that most likely my life would have ended at that point. Do you remember that feeling of being saved? Have you ever experienced that feeling? Do you know what you've been saved from? Do you have a memory of when your Heavenly Father reached down and pulled you up out of the void that you were falling into? Can you see yourself being snatched from the very depths of hell and transported to a place of paradise for eternity? Do you understand that death is defeated? That we no longer need to fear it. How does one comprehend the life that is available through Jesus Christ? It's not the life advertised by the world we see, but it is a truly fulfilling and purposeful life. John 1:12 says, "Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." Do you remember what it's worth? What is it worth to you? Is it something to be ashamed of or something worth suffering for? Is it something worth speaking out for? It is this good news that we have been entrusted with. Verse 11, Paul says, "And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher." Now, I understand that not all of us are called to be a Paul or a Timothy. But there's an element of this that speaks to all of us. We're all called to testify about Jesus, to share with each other and the world. It doesn't matter who you are, what your makeup is, what your personality is, or where you are, where you live, or how you're wired. You're all called to testify about Jesus. It will require sacrifice and suffering. And it's up to you to decide whether it's worth it to you. What's it worth to you? Pastors, are you willing to faithfully preach the word regardless of what people want to hear? Are you willing to stand on Jesus Christ alone without all the gimmicks and marketing and everything else that we're told we need to sell the gospel so that's attractive to people? It's a temptation for pastors. Tremendous. Men, are you willing to be spiritual leaders? Ones who demonstrate what it means to testify boldly about Jesus. Can you be that kind of a leader for your family? For your church? Are you willing to stand up against the pressures of materialism? We could list a long list of things, sexual sins, and all the other pressures of living in this day and age. Are you willing to do that, men? Women, are you willing to suffer at times, many times unknown to others, for the cause of Christ? I know some of you walk a difficult path, to struggle with forgiveness, things that have happened to you. Are you willing to demonstrate Christ's love regardless? Teens, are you willing to walk with Jesus in a world who claims He is out and not in? Will you be associated with Him? Or will you worry about fitting in, about being popular, not weird? It's tough. It's not for the timid. It's a tough road. As a church, will we be willing to leave this place today and go out there? Will we respectfully but boldly share about Jesus to a world who is lost and often opposed? Are we going to stop waiting for things to be easy? I don't think it ever will be easy. We're involved in a spiritual war, and you and I know that we're going to take some hits. The question that we need to answer is, do I believe that it's worth it? Is it worth it? What do I want out of life? What do you want out of life? What are you going after? What you want is what you will get. You know what I'm saying? We go after the things that we really want. And my prayer this morning is that each of us, myself included, would take this invitation to step out of timid Christianity, to open our mouths and testify for our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we be able to say with Paul as we look in verse 12. Paul says, I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him for that day. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for how it speaks to us. I thank You for how it works into our hearts. I thank You for how it opens our eyes. And as Reuben shared about reading Your Word a few weeks ago, I'm thankful for how it leaps off the page at us, how it applies to every aspect of our lives. And Lord, I ask that we would take Your Word this morning, and that we would allow it to do its work in our life, whatever it is that You want it to do. Only between You and us do we know those issues. Other people don't know all the things going on in our lives. May we allow You to illuminate, to bring into focus the things that You want us to understand. And I pray that as we leave this place, that each of us might be renewed in our commitment to speak out for You, to speak out about the gospel. May we do it respectfully, but may we do it boldly. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.